Are you offended? Good. I like you like that, especially if you're a bad guy. And guys, I'm going to start off here today by throwing to video because I don't have my act together. So watch this. People ask me all the time, am I worried about offending the so-called peaceful Muslims in America? No, absolutely not. This isn't about offending or not offending people. It's about defending a nation. This isn't a fight against a people or merely a religion. It's a fight against an ideology that stands in direct opposition to the values that built this great nation. So yeah, I'm offended. They should be worried about that. I'm offended by what Islam and Sharia law have done to civilizations all over the world. I see it, and I don't like it. I'm offended by Christians being slaughtered in places like Nigeria in the name of Islam, while much of the world just yawns and looks the other way. I'm offended by the children that we've rescued all across the globe who have suffered unimaginable abuse at the hands of Islamics. I'm offended by an ideology that strips away freedom, crushes women, and persecutes believers, and then actually destroys their innocent lives. And yes, I'm offended that there are people trying to convince Americans that we are the bad guys, that we should just simply stay quiet while ideas that reject our constitutional freedom gain influence. Not on my watch. Guys, America is worth defending. Our churches are worth defending. Our children are worth defending. Our freedom is also worth defending. This is our Alamo moment, and it's not too late to take a stand.
Come on, Ben, clap. Let's see it, buddy. You got it. Come on, Ben.
Hey, show Ben how Ben is not participating.
Yeah.
His shirt is bringing joy. He stole it off of a table somewhere.
Is what it looks like.
How'd you know?
Two tables, because it like two different patterns.
Whoa, you call me fat?
I'm not fat shaming.
You're fat shaming me.
No, I meant because it's two different patterns.
The audacity.
As soon as it came out of my mouth, I realized.
Fat jokes from Shay.
No, it was not.
See, fat jokes from Shay.
Because there's two different patterns, guys.
Fat
please
jokes
don't fire
Shay.
Me.
I'm going
today.
Home. I'm down.
Please
you're out of the
way.
No,
for that,
whole
you
day
get a raise. Whole day raise.
Listen, guys, we're in a wild mood here today, and we've been like this all day long. I mean, on the road coming here today, me and Barrett were just hitting each other and throwing things at each other. And then I came in here and we recorded chapter 5 of my audio book that will be released this fall. First publication of Third Stage Publishing, and it's called West of Redemption. And Ben is actually doing all of the audio for me. And he's not doing a very good job. I'm so tired of you. I'm exhausted with you today. It's not very good. It actually took me over an hour to read one chapter. And it's a very serious, it's like the most serious chapter. I mean, there's all this death and mayhem happening, and I was laughing so hard while we were doing it. We had three generations of brewers in here, which is not good. It's just never good. Guys, I want to welcome you here. Guys, today is episode, 162. And today, guys, we're going to talk about the war behind the rescue. And I'm going to give you an inside scoop of some things that we're working all over the world. And just tell you how hard it is. Mm-hmm. And the fight that we're in to rescue these kids. And you're going to love it. We're also going to do a bit of a Bible study today. I'm going to be talking to you about your personal finances and how you're supposed to hope in that. And I'm going to show you a cool scripture, and I'm going to tell you what my thinking is on that. I shared it with all my pastors yesterday. Pastor Rebecca is with us.
Hey, Pastor. Doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm fine as frog here.
Yeah, we have so many tuning in. We have Sue from Canada, Pastor. We have Liz from South Africa. We have Pablo.
Wait, hang on a second. We're supposed to be making comments about my excellent sermon I preached yesterday.
Oh, sorry. Oh. I went straight into him. We're on a roll.
No, we've moved on.
But we have a great comment.
We've moved past
that
this.
Your situational makeup awareness. Looks beautiful today. Monica
yes,
Bradley said that.
She was on our members only.
Is
why we wanted
makeup.
To see that.
We
did a special members only yes. stream today while doing Pastor Troy's skincare.
Oh, God. Which is so, listen.
It's easy.
It's horrible. Listen, so they did that on members only today, right?
Yeah, on YouTube.
So
watch YouTube.
If you are a YouTube members follower, mm-hmm. we do all these behind the scene things constantly. We also share it over to our Third Stage viewers on ODX.TV.
Yep. Yes.
And today they were just showing everybody the hell that I have to go through every day while a room full of women,
and Ben,
you know, make me look better. And it's so humiliating. It's the part of the day that I hate. They know I hate it, so they enjoy it.
And everyone enjoyed it.
They invite the whole church to come in there and watch.
No.
My grandkids go in there and they make fun of me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Papa, are you wearing makeup? Well, dude, I'm in front of a camera all the time. And I have to. And because I'm real blotchy and I'm old. And it kind of looks like I have leprosy.
That's not true. No. That is not true. But everyone loved our special members mm-hmm. only today. And also, speaking of members only, Lisa Bennett said, I really enjoyed the YouTube members only video aww. Yesterday. I hope Pastor Troy does a lot more of them, guys. So wow. We are really amping up the behind the scenes mm-hmm. stuff that we're doing for members only and for our ODX Stage 3 family.
And we have
so
new members. Guys, do you want to give them a shout out?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you go ahead?
So we have Kathy Schneck 892, Linda Nickel, 5401, Alexa Simple Living, and Rick Burton Rack 9531, and Jen Henson as our YouTube members.
Thank you for becoming
hey, thanks,
members.
Guys. A YouTube member. That $5 a month mm-hmm. goes straight into Troy Brew Ministries. And I don't know, maybe when I retire, that might be my retirement one of these days. What do y'all think?
Yeah. Sure.
Let's just retire right now. Shouldn't I just retire, by the way? I'm exhausted. I don't think of course, y'all wouldn't have a job.
I'm so tired. Yeah,
we would not Pastor, have a job. Please don't retire yet.
I'm not going to retire.
But we are, listen,
can you guys ever imagine me retiring?
No, mm-hmm. It's like my father-in-law. I don't think he ever will.
Like, what am I going to do? I mean, I'd work on a tractor all day. I would literally go out to the ranch and I'd work out there and I'd be a rancher for the rest of my life. That's what I would do. But with that said, no, there's too many kids to save. There's too amen. Much gospel to preach. Jesus is coming back soon.
Absolutely.
And that's I rock so. Your face off as an old man. Mm-hmm. Listen, I get a little bit better every single day. Mm-hmm. What, Ben? Would you show Ben's stupid face, please? My God, sit it over there.
Edit.
See, this is what I have to deal with. This is what I have to deal with on a day to day basis. Okay, continue. What other? You also had another comment or something y'all were gonna.
Oh wait, yeah, Taylor, do you have the other one about? So yesterday, Pastor Troy, or was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
And answers how boring the world would be without me.
Aww. Thank yes. you. So yesterday, Pastor Troy was on Julie Green's podcast, mm-hmm. which was awesome. And if you guys missed it, it's on ODX. Yep. We uploaded it there. But look at this comment.
What am I looking
from
at?
Her podcast.
I legit thought the dude in the photo was Harrison Ford. The dude is even cooler wow. than Ford.
Look at that, Pastor. Okay. Come on.
I want y'all to find out who Aaron Lynch is, and I want to mm-hmm. send that guy something
okay.
awesome.
Okay, we got to find him.
I want to send him something really cool. I don't know, Aaron, if you're watching here today, but you're in a will,
I
son.
I was just going to say.
You're in a will. And I got something cool to send to you, man. What should I send him? I'm going to send him a hat.
Yeah, you should do the little box.
I just ordered swag. Today. I ordered speaking of Harrison Ford, I ordered for me, not for you, Ben, but for me
wow.
and for your son. I also ordered some Indiana Jones hats
today. That's cool.
Like the nice Indiana Jones hats for us to wear in Uganda here within the next couple of weeks.
That's cool.
Okay.
Well, I want to welcome Bruce.
Nobody's in today. Look, I'm trying, guys.
We got a new media missionary, Pastor Bruce Docksmith, MICP. Thank you for joining us and becoming a member.
Way to go, man. Thanks, guys. And for all of our new Stage 2, Stage 3, and Lifetime members, thank you for joining in this fight. I'm fixing to show you, like, we're fixing to do one investigation that is going to cost $50,000. Mm. Just the investigation. It's going to cost 50 grand. We figure it's going to take 5 months to get this monster arrested, but we're going to get it done. What are you laughing at over there?
Look what Robin said.
At least Ben got Leanna's good looks.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, Robin. Yes. Robin, don't be on his side, man. Don't be on his side, man. Yeah, praise God. So anyway, we're going to show you what it takes, mm-hmm. and that even though we screw around a lot and we make fun of each other, and but we take this thing so serious when it comes to rescuing these kids, because I'm serious when I tell you there's nobody else coming, mm-hmm. and wow. there's no hotline we can call and ask somebody, will you please go rescue these 70 kids? There's nobody to do that. It has to be on us, and once you know about it, you're responsible for it. Mm. And I live by that. And we juggle every bit of finances that we have around. And we just make it happen. So I'm going to actually walk you through that here within a few minutes. It's going to be fun. And you're going to enjoy this. What else we have? Well, by the way, hello, Shay.
Hi, Pastor.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm feeling better today.
Listen, man. I'm telling you, I'm glad you weren't on camera yesterday, because Pastor. The whole world would have been like, why are you making her work?
You told me to go home, but I wanted to be here just to make sure. I mean, first of all, you had the interview in the morning with Julie Green, which is so incredible. Mm-hmm. And that was a really big deal.
Have we posted that?
And yeah, we shared it. And then we uploaded it to ODX.
Okay, so.
So we got that on there. And we'll continue to share it and make reels and stuff from it because it was such a. I loved her. Oh, she was great.
She was great. And then I'm just going to tell you guys this. We had $25,000 in giving yesterday.
That came from that?
That came from that one show.
Praise the
Lord.
And
like, okay, that's what I'm talking about. Somebody called the number, 877-413-0888. And a bunch of somebodies did yesterday. And guys, we raised over $25,000 yesterday just being on Julie Green's show and for her amazing generosity. She was so good to us. And I'd never even been on her show before. And so, like, okay, well, do you guys really need all that money? Oh, listen, man. And by the way, we don't just need millions of dollars. We need hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Hundreds. Like, what? Yeah, see, the only reason we're only raising 6,700 kids at this very moment and not 600,000 kids throughout the world is not because we couldn't do it. We could put all that together and we could do it. We could rescue those kids. It is funding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just cost so much money. Absolutely. I was looking at, I asked because we're about to do a board meeting and, we do like four board meetings a year. We get together because I've always got these huge financial things I got to overcome and go, guys, what do you think? And how about this? And again, how do we do this? And how do we do that? And we're about to do this. And I was looking, we have already rescued more than 700 kids this year. 700 kids in the first 6 months of this year.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Wow. The first 6 months, we've rescued over 700 kids.
Wow. That's insane.
It is insane. So we're probably going to rescue 1,200, 1,400 kids this year.
Yeah.
Okay, every 1,000 kids, my budget has to increase by $2 million.
Wow. Jesus.
So every year,
yeah,
my budget has to increase by at least $2 million. And dude, every year it happens. And the money just comes in and it goes right out. So all of us here at this table, and unfortunately Ben, we all get a paycheck.
Why are you harassing me?
I have not yet begun.
Hey, you guys started whatever you was in the
whatever
water this
came
morning.
From yesterday, it was brought into the table today.
I decided I'm going to be in a good mood because Leanna woke up. She was upset about her unibrow. And she was like, my unibrow is off the chart.
So
and
dying.
I'm like, it's not my fault. I have nothing to do with any of that. Wow, and then she's in a bad mood.
She is going to beat you. She's going to beat you. And I'm going to watch and laugh.
Leanna does not have a unibrow. She's quarter Cherokee Indian.
She's gorgeous.
Okay, I don't know if everybody knows this about her. Mm-hmm. Leanna is quarter Cherokee Indian.
Really?
Yeah. And dude, I want you guys to look. She's got fake eyebrows. She doesn't even have eyebrows. No, she grows a mustache every now and then.
I'm sending you a picture right now to put up so that everyone who's watching, if this is their first time and they think he's just over here dogging on his poor wife.
She's the most beautiful woman in the world.
She's gorgeous.
And she is the most selfless human being that I have ever known.
She's stunning.
And she is a joy to be with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Did I send it to you, Taylor?
Okay. Well, we're definitely feeling the joy of the Lord. So
no
the joy of the Lord
for
is
you,
our strength.
Pastor Troy. No, there's no retirement for me.
I mean, rest. I want rest for you. But look at that.
Look
Come
at
on.
Her.
Look at Pastor Leanna.
I know that stunning. Look. Y'all don't know what that looks like.
Okay,
I know what that
here
look
we
is.
Go.
I can exhausted you. She was looking at me.
I'm exhausted.
When the was taken.
You were behind. You actually took the photo.
She's so gorgeous.
She took the photo.
She's such a pretty girl. I love her so much.
Inside and out, though, she is... She's so special.
Yes, yes, yes.
You want to walk right off the set and go find her right now.
I'll kiss her all day long. And I don't care who sees. I don't care who knows. I want everybody to know that we love each other and that we have a rock star marriage because we want to have a rock star marriage in spite of our children. We're happy.
I'm so tired of you. Why am I even here?
I'm
here just for you to harass me.
What happened, Ben?
We wanted you to join us today.
Gosh,
yeah.
Between you and Jimmy Pitts making fun of me, saying I'm
Jimmy Pitts is on there.
Yeah, he said look like the Gerber baby.
Oh, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
The what?
The Gerber baby is that like that baby made a lot of money.
This is what I would do with him when he's a little. I said, "He's a good boy. He's a kitty, kitty, kitty."
Somebody help me.
Loves that. He absolutely
listen.
Loves
when
that.
He gets ordained as a pastor, you're not gonna be able. Are you gonna like have to tone it down when you know
what?
Some of this.
Yeah, we're
is
about
that
to,
happening.
We're about to ordain you
this
as a
month.
Pastor. We're about to.
Why?
Because time. You are I'm a pastor.
No, I'm a bishop.
You're a bishop.
I hear the pastor. I'm the bishop. Hear the spirit say it's time.
He's not a bishop.
What?
He's time. He is a bishop. He's a I'm pastor. So it's gonna be awesome. My gosh.
Okay. Guys, well, I got stuff to do. I don't have time for y'all's nonsense today.
We're off the rails today.
Says the one that was late.
But I'm having fun. I hope you're all having fun.
Were you not late? You were not late today.
So, oh, you were so just too. To give everybody a clue, just for like yesterday. Okay. We worked on all things Cambodia yesterday mm-hmm. in a huge way. We worked with Boomerang Aviation yesterday. And we're mm-hmm. trying really hard to get a team of people into Caracas, Venezuela.
Wow.
And we are working on a huge project. You guys know that we have boots on the ground in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys know all the hell that has happened over there. What the world doesn't know is that the communist government in Venezuela is using this terrible earthquake as an occasion mm-hmm. to do two nefarious things that is so bad. One of them is this. They are declaring all the churches, you can't go in them because it's too dangerous. And they are bulldozing churches.
Oh my God. Wow.
Because they
wow.
want to get the body of Christ out of Venezuela. Because Christianity is always a problem to anything mm. liberal, anything yeah. woke, anything socialist, anything communist, right? So remember that, you Democrat, demon-possessed person who is watching this, okay? We are the body of Jesus, and we're not going anywhere. You can kiss our grits. We've been around for 2,000 years, and we will be here until Jesus comes back. And no, we're not leaving until the rapture of the church. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And then you can have this place. But until then, no, we're not going to be nice to you. So we are actually standing with working with President Trump's Faith Council, and also too with the prayer board, and we're trying to get a team of people there because we are going to cause a national big thing mm-hmm. where we have the body of Christ, different churches, sponsor different churches in Venezuela so that the government does not shut them down. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually working on that. And I'm going to be talking to you a whole lot about what's going on in Cambodia and what all we're doing in Asia. I had a big talk with our movie guys yesterday morning. I talked with the Pauline brothers and talked with Samuel Pauling. And we went over the Julie Green interview and we're talking about the movie that Samuel will get around to making one of these 10,000 years from now. Come on, Samuel, let's go. Let's go. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, it takes a long time to make a movie. It takes a long time. And so we're trying to get this movie made. Now we're on a whole nother project. We've been working 4 years on one movie, and now we're working on another project. And the other project that we're working on, which I'm also executive producer on, is this. It's a short film. Hans Zimmer donated a song to us, so it'll be eligible for an Academy Award.
Wow.
It is a rescue. It's going to be filmed in Mexico. We are working with the Mexican government, and we sent them down there to go down there and to visit the team and to visit the governor's staff and the Department of Tourism and also the Department of Movie Making. It's going to be a short film. We're looking at John, what's his name? What's the name of the guy that plays Punisher?
From the Punisher.
John.
Come on.
Look it up, Ben. Come on, help
I'm
me
doing
out.
It. I'm trying.
I was talking to Ben.
Oh.
Ben is a failure. Travolta?
John Bernthal. Bernthal.
John yeah, Bernthal. John Bernthal has agreed to be in this thing, which is crazy cool. What'd you find?
Ben,
what'd
you
find,
be Ben? In it, Ben?
Ben's like, eh.
Ben yeah. wants to be in.
Ben does not want to do anything.
But I don't
Ben
know.
Wants to go take a nap because he's exhausted with his conversation. So,
oh, wow.
Ben might be at our anger TV screen issues. Someday, maybe.
Anger.
Would you go to the prayer tent?
You never know.
Let's go to the prayer tent. I will take you.
All right. So then, and listen, if this is how we are yeah. all day, okay?
Yep.
In the midst of crying over all the kids all over the planet Earth, in the midst of running a church, in the midst of all of that kind of stuff, we just decide to have fun because
I'm
funny.
Mm-hmm. You are funny.
You are funny. Yeah.
I want to hear you say it.
So, you are funny.
He needs the words.
So then on top of that, guys, we also worked with our team in the Dominican Republic, and they are over there doing some fantastic work.
Yes. I can't wait to hear about that.
Incredible, and I can't wait to tell you about it. And then I'm also doing another movie project with a filmmaker out of Austin named Jason Fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jason is putting together a documentary for me because with our team in Cambodia, there is a European that is going to Cambodia. We have found 25 children that this one guy has actually molested. And he's been doing this for decades. So there's probably hundreds. He's got money. He comes from Europe. He goes over there. He knows how to get this nefarious act done. And we know how to stop him. And we know how to bust him. Amen. And we know how to get him. And he has no idea that we exist. He has no idea that we see him. He has no idea that we're documenting. He has no idea that we're working with the country that he comes out of and the countries that he goes to, which includes four Asian nations. And we are pulling strings and we're watching this guy. We're documenting. We're going to get him. He is going to, I literally want to fly over there and film him crying, rocking back and forth inside his cell, going, what happened? I said, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to tell you what happened. Jesus Christ showed up.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And you're about to meet him. You're about to meet him. You're already an old man and you're going to stand before God and you will get a millstone for every single one of these kids. Every single one. You're going to get a millstone. I'm in the millstone business when it comes to these clowns. Yeah. Well, don't you want to reach them for Jesus? I would be happy if they got saved. That would be a trophy of grace for King Jesus, but that's not my job to reach them for Jesus. My job is to tie a millstone around their neck and to throw them off into the depths of the sea if I get a chance. Now, since that's illegal, I can't do that. What I can do is I can set it up in the systems of the world that he gets thrown under the prison. Also don't mind letting every single other prisoner know that guy's a child molester, and that doesn't tend to go well for those clowns, and I don't give a rip. And all of you bleeding heart liberals that are like, you're supposed to be a man of God. This is what a man of God looks like. This is what it actually looks like. It does not look like skinny jeans and fog machines. It looks like people that are on assignment to do the Lord's work. It is not about a philosophy. It is not about just reading the Bible all day long and praying all day long. I do read the Bible all day. All day, I do. Mm-hmm. I carry the Word of God with me everywhere I go. I love the Word of God. I have to have it in my mind. But know this, faith without works is dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just saying it and not demonstrating it will not cut it before the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you laughing at, Ben?
Somebody's so aggressive.
I'm aggressive.
No, I think it's so good, though. I think it's good.
I want you guys to see this video. I'm going to show you this video again because we're going to be releasing this, I think, today.
I don't know, today or tomorrow. We want to, because one of Pastor Troy's reels on Islam has been going crazy viral, like over 500,000 views. Mm-hmm. And so, and this is something you talk about a lot. We're not just like all of a sudden talking about it because it went viral, but like this is a big, something that we're all very passionate about is raising the truth about Islam and that it's a clash of civilizations. It's not about a religion. Mm-hmm. So we filmed.
Cult.
It is.
It is a death cult.
Amen.
And it is a death mob that is intended to destroy every other civilization except for their own.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done for 1,400 years. That's what they're doing right now. And it's these pansy liberals and godless people that have been allowing them to get away with it. And we're saying not on our watch. I was just in this movie called Remember the Alamo.
Yeah.
And then it's also subtitled Don't Sharia My Texas. Right on. You guys need to look up the alamomovie.com. It is a heck of a movie. It's got me and Laura Logan. I always want to say Laura Logan.
Same. And so, Laura Logan.
Laura Logan, who has become a friend of mine. It's got General Flynn. It's got yours truly in it, a bunch of other people. But then this is something that we're putting out. Watch this. People ask me all the time, am I worried about offending the so-called peaceful Muslims in America? No, absolutely not. This isn't about offending or not offending people. It's about defending a nation. This isn't a fight against a people or merely a religion. It's a fight against an ideology that stands in direct opposition to the values that built this great nation. So yeah, I'm offended. They should be worried about that. I'm offended by what Islam and Sharia law have done to civilizations all over the world. I see it, and I don't like it. I'm offended by Christians being slaughtered in places like Nigeria in the name of Islam, while much of the world just yawns and looks the other way. I'm offended by the children that we've rescued all across the globe who have suffered unimaginable abuse at the hands of Islamics. I'm offended by an ideology that strips away freedom, crushes women, and persecutes believers, and then actually destroys their innocent lives. And yes, I'm offended that there are people trying to convince Americans that we are the bad guys, that we should just simply stay quiet while ideas that reject our constitutional freedom gain influence. Not on my watch. Guys, America is worth defending. Our churches are worth defending. Our children are worth defending. Our freedom is also worth defending. This is our Alamo moment, and it's not too late to take a stand.
Wow.
Well, this is our Alamo moment, and it.
Uh-oh.
You're out of focus.
What happened?
What did you do, Taylor? Gosh.
It was scary. Okay.
I actually look better out of focus.
You know what? That's true.
Sad.
That is true.
There you go. Back in time for the drum.
This is our Alamo moment, guys. And we do got to make a stand. And we got to stand for each other. We got to stand for our great nation. We have to stand for our churches. We got to stand for our girls. We got to stand for our kids. And we do not have to stand with anything woke. Look, guys, I want to just tell you this. For all of you Christians that are watching and your church is still a bit woke, you don't got to do that. You don't have to do that anymore. And be like, well, we need to be careful that we don't offend. You know what? You need to stand up and say, excuse me, but no, I didn't wake up this morning worrying about offending you, and I'm not going to go to sleep worrying about offending you. I'm going to stand with King Jesus is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand with the Constitution of the United States. Sharia law has no place here, and there's no such thing as a mob of Muslims without Sharia law. And that is on them. That is not on us. That is on them. And if we can coexist and cohabitate, then they're going to have to quit acting like that. It's not on us for us to change. It's on them for them to change. Well, that makes us very offended. And now, therefore, we're going to have to kill you. Come and take it is what I have to say. Come and take it. There are still people on this planet who are not afraid of you. Promise you. And I'm one of those guys. I walk into Psalms 91. I'm not going to be afraid. I've been fighting the cartel for 30 years. I've been fighting Muslims all over the world and actually rescuing children as child brides from Muslims all over the planet Earth. Wow. And I have been buying Christians from Muslims all over the planet. I'm not fooled by any of this stuff. And Joe Biden, that demon-possessed knucklehead, and his entire cabinet and all this of, hey, we're going to open up the borders and we're going to invite millions of men. We're actually going to fly them here, let them take over cities, and then we're all going to claim that they're victims whenever anybody says no. There are some people left that still believe in the First and the Second Amendment, and we're saying, no, we don't think so. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank Have a right Jesus. Mind. Be sober-minded. Be somebody in the name of Jesus that Jesus is your supernatural sanity. Hallelujah.
Amen. And hey, we actually have a reel from the movie premiere that you did along all these lines for Remember the Alamo. If you guys want to check this out, should we show it to them?
Yeah, let's
all right.
Go.
So this was actually Fanchin.
What about you, Ben? Are you excited?
Where am I? What's going on?
Ben is very excited and he's adding a lot to the show. And we're happy that you're here. You are.
Since when?
It's joyful. It's just joyful.
He's
yes.
not editing anything.
But listen, we sent Fanchin out.
Yeah, it's color.
Fanchin went out to the premiere of Remember the Alamo and captured a whole bunch of stuff behind the scenes. We're trying to keep this train on the tracks today. Guys, just watch
this.
Watch this.
It's incredible, Aaron, to be for a patriotic and a godly kingdom cause. I mean, come on. Love it.
Islam is not a religion, it's a civilization. And we are in a clash of civilizations.
Going to tell you who we are, what we're fighting, and it's going to give you the steps so that we peacefully win this.
And I hoped for some really big things, but this is exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask for anything.
There's so much hard work that goes into this kind of a thing, and so much dedication from so many different people.
These guys that died at the Alamo, they died praising God. It's that simple. We just need to remember who we are.
We actually can make a tremendous difference, and that it's time, and that you're not going to be alone in doing so.
Wow. Okay, so that comes from the Alamo movie. If you guys look up thealamomovie.com, man, you can download it yourself. And I want to warn you, it's not the funnest movie in the world to watch because it documents what Islam does all over the world and what they are saying they're going to do to you and to me and to your family. And they're on American soil as they actually do that. This is now in the press. Hot off the press. Guys, I'm going to be on National Fox News this coming Saturday.
Yep.
Am I going to be on Aisha's show?
Yeah, Aisha Hasney.
Aisha Hasney. All right, I'm going to be on her show. I am going to, I'm doing a marriage retreat in Lukenbach, Texas on Friday night and on Saturday, but I'm going to have to leave there for a couple hours, drive out to San Antonio, get in the studio and at Fox Studios in San Antonio, Texas. And I'm going to be live sometime.
I think it's between 11 and 1. It's 12 to 2 Eastern time. So for us, 11 to 1.
Okay.
But we'll be posting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be on sometime. Yeah. And we'll, if you guys follow me on social media, we'll be there and we'll be saying, hey, I'm about to be on. This is about to happen. Yada, yada, yada. And I'll let you guys know. And then you guys be watching Fox News this coming Saturday.
11 a.m.
Right. Mm-hmm. 11 a.m.
Yep.
And be watching from 11 to 1 and watch Aisha Hasley's show. She's actually been here. We all prayed for her.
Yeah.
We had the church pray for her the week before she started her show.
That was really cool. And it was a very special moment when we did pray for her because it was a really big deal. It was literally, she hadn't started her show yet. And it was really what has launched her into her career. So,
wow.
Well, really cool. And by the way, Aisha, she comes from a Muslim people. And Aisha is the name of the 6-year-old bride of Muhammad.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Which all of that, which, you know, he's like, he was so good to her. He actually did not consummate the marriage until she was 9. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Oh, my
gosh. So, yeah. And that's part of their whole thing. But Aisha is a good girl. She's a good American. She loves the Lord. And she's proud of her heritage, as I would be as well. And she is a great patriot and a great American. But yeah, how about that? Wow. And if I was her, I would not change my name either. I would show that Jesus saves.
Redeeming your timeline.
I would. I got a real good friend of mine named Hadija, and she's also now saved. Uh-huh. And she's like, I thought about getting a Christian name. I'm like, no, get that name. And show every Muslim person in your family that Jesus saves Muslims as well.
Yep.
Amen.
I love that.
So yeah, love that.
So okay. Cool. So we'll be praying for Pastor Troy this weekend. It'll be awesome.
Okay. So lots of people making lots and lots and lots of comments. And Ben is a Rodney Dangerfield of the Pulse. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He
gets no respect.
No respect.
No respect.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready to do this thing. You guys ready to do it?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Guys, open up your Bibles. I'm going to talk to you about something really big.
Open up your Bible.
We're going to do a Bible study today.
We're going to open up the Word of God. You're going to run with this Word. It's going to be so good.
Send us questions if you've got them.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Send us questions if you got them. I want to be looking at, we're going to end up in Mark chapter 4. But before we get to Mark chapter 4, we are going to be in another place. Where is the other place I'm going to be? First Timothy. Mm-hmm. Okay. There. First Timothy. All right. Now, whenever Paul is talking to Timothy here, he's instructing Timothy on the importance of how to conduct himself and what are the principles that he should be actually delivering to people. And he starts off by saying this, and as for rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. I want to stop and I want to say this. Do you know, for the idea, the woke idea that everybody needs to be treated exactly the same, is wrong. It's totally wrong. I don't treat my grandkids the same as I treat my kids. Would you agree to that, Ben?
You talking to me?
Oh my God!
And then, as a matter of fact, when Jesus Christ, the Bible clearly says, do not put rich people ahead of poor people. And as a matter of fact, when it comes to instruction on how to do church, it says, don't put rich people ahead. Don't put them ahead of poor people. It says a couple of things, and that's it. It's like, it's up to you how you express your worship. And you guys have got to figure all that out. It's like any other family. And that's the way that is. All right. So Jesus Christ himself, he didn't go to poor people's houses. Jesus only went to rich people's houses. Have you ever noticed that? Some people, you got to go to their house. You got to go to their house. Some people, you have them come to you. Some people, you meet them in the field, right? And Jesus himself, there is a certain protocol of honor for people who have honor, and you do not diss that. So it says this, and as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything. thing to enjoy. Okay, so when it comes to rich people in this present age, it doesn't say, tell them they need to give all their money to the poor and then they need to be poor. That's not what it says. It says this, tell them not to think that they're better than anybody else. You charge them. You actually got to get in their grill. Now, when it comes to outreach recipients and people that I'm feeding, or when it comes to our beloved people in all of our leprosy villages, when it comes to them, when it comes to our kids, when we bring them in out of slavery, I don't charge them with anything because they are on the receiving end of me demonstrating the Father's heart towards them. But when it comes to people who are obviously rich, you have to get in their grill and you have to charge them and you have to say, okay, look, I'm coming to you who is obviously in an honorable and blessed place. I am coming to you with an authority from the Lord, and this is what the Lord says. Don't be haughty. Now, Ben is a haughty.
Darn tootin'.
Oh, yeah. But... but at least he's not stuck up about his room. No. No.
He's taken too, ladies. So
I am. Yeah, sorry.
He's got a beautiful wife.
Yeah, he does have a beautiful wife. Mm-hmm. And much prettier than him. I guarantee you that.
Thank God.
He's got beautiful grandkids too.
Mm-hmm. Gave me I don't have grandkids.
Well, beautiful children. Kids.
Your kids. They and by the are way, Ben, so cute. What happened? So your firstborn son was born on your birthday.
Yes.
Which means Ben never gets a birthday again.
I'll never grow old.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
So funny. We really do not celebrate the birthday of Ben. We only celebrate the birthday of Barrett.
Aww.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing. And we let him know. No, you did your duty. Thank you, son.
We're done with you.
Go away now.
Wow.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Just sad. It's I'm just saying. Okay, so here's the deal. You charge people that are rich to not be haughty, okay? And then it says this. And tell them also, check this out. This is so important. This is going to do with every single one of us. Nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Everybody say the uncertainty of riches.
The uncertainty of riches.
The uncertainty of riches.
Yes. Okay. Do not put your hope on you think you got it all figured out on where and how and when your finances are going to happen, because you'll be set up for disappointment and you will start living and looking at everybody like they are a checkbook. Okay. And it's like, you need to understand that when it comes to your income, when it comes to your finances, there is an uncertainty involved in it. What is certain is that we put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Mm-hmm. So this is the tension of where we all live financially. Mm-hmm. I am charged, not personally, but with a ministry that requires millions and millions of dollars a year to operate on. And I know that there's haters, well, you're part of a 501c3 program and that's the devil. No, honey, you're the devil. And you need to thank God for the United States of America that gives people a tax break for actually helping churches. You should thank God for that. Like, I think it would be much better in the government. It would not be better in the government. The bang for the buck that the body of Jesus gives is so much better than the government. I promise you. So last week we gave away 400,000 pounds of food. 1 week. 400,000 pounds of food without any strings attached. And we are one church. Every week we rescue 19 kids. 19 every single week out of sexual slavery. And then we provide everything for them. Everything for them. So yes, people should be given to that. They should be given to that. And it would be a whole lot better than to go into some DEI program or to pay for 10 million abortions or whatever nonsense that the government is involved in. Okay? The kingdom is the kingdom, and the kingdom is always better than the government. And I'm very insistent upon that. Extremely insistent upon that. Now, but I want to talk about the uncertainty of it, because I am responsible for, I always tell you, okay, man, we need a bump this week.
Yep.
We need another television show that we need to be on. We need to release another book. We need to do another radio program. We need to do this. Why? Because we are responsible for being in front of millions of people, hoping that a small fragment will actually support this ministry and actually help us rescue kids.
Yeah, we do media so that we can rescue kids. And so literally, that is why we're constantly doing so many things. People are always like, Pastor Troy, why do you do this? Why do you do that? I mean, you do so many different things, but because I feel like God has given you all of these tools in your tool belt, and we use all of those so that we can bring in more income. So more people, I mean, even this like movie that you've been working on with the Pauling brothers, it's a vehicle to get the word out about what we do, about rescuing kids and hoping that it will touch people's hearts. And it will move them to be activated to get in this fight with us, because so many people hear about it. And I hear it all the time. Oh my gosh, I've always wanted to get involved with people who rescue kids from human trafficking. And I'm like, well, do it. And you even tell people, you want to get involved, find someone near you. If you can't give to us for some reason, find someone who gives near you and support them. Go support someone who's doing it. So yeah we do all of this.
Find somebody and rescue.
That's why.
I tell everybody that. Like, there are people around you somewhere, somehow, that are rescuing kids. I think about Leanna's parents and Ben's grandparents, which are some of the finest human beings that have ever lived. I mean, they raised over 300 kids in the foster care system. That's remarkable. Plus, they raised five kids of their own, and Leanna is one of them. I wonder what would have happened if some church would have just showed up and said, we're going to show up once a week and just help you wash clothes. We're going to show up once a week. We're going to show up every single month, and we're going to pay your house payment. We're going to help you guys get an extra car so that you get all your kids to the schools that they go to. Nobody ever did that. Everybody loves the idea of rescuing people, but it's a lot like marriage. Everybody loves the idea of marriage. But let me tell you something. You're going to lay down your life for that marriage.
Yeah.
Yep. You girls agree with that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I promise you. Ben, do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's true. The only way you can stay married is to lay down your life. That's the way that God Almighty designed it. The only way. You are going to have to bat off so many things that are not good for your marriage, and you are going to have to conform your life if you want to have a rock star marriage. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be that person, and it's not going to be natural. It's not. Look at Ben. I feel sorry for Brandy. Don't y'all feel sorry for Brandy?
I think he keeps life interesting, though. Definitely
strange. He's been strange. He was strange as a little boy too. I don't know. Man.
Between you and Jimmy Pitts and Shay Fat Shaming, I don't know how I'm going with my life.
The Fat Shaming.
Fat Shaming's real.
Well, no, we got it.
Peter Pan a minute ago.
Who did?
Jimmy Pitts. He said he called me Peter Pan. I'm the bearded Peter Pan. I never age.
Oh wow. Okay. That's a compliment.
Is it?
Yeah. That you never age. Yeah. That's a great compliment.
I feel like there's a fat shaming coming in here somewhere.
You know what, Ben?
But it's also true that fat people don't have very many wrinkles.
Now, that is true because your skin fills out.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
And that's why when you lose, I'm not talking to you.
I've lost a lot of weight.
No, but
when I take off my belt, my boobies fall all the way down to my ankles.
It's a problem.
Okay. What I was saying before I so rudely interrupted is that you have to lay down your life.
Yes,
you do. And if that doesn't happen, you ain't going to stay married. Just going to tell you, man, you ain't going to stay married. So if you want to get into the rescue of children, and if you want, these guys are all laughing. They're all like, oh my God.
There's something wrong with you.
There is something wrong with me. I'm funny. I am funny. Thank you. Thank you very much. But here's what I want to tell you. In the midst of your financial planning and in the midst of you thinking about your own personal finances and how this works, number one, here's what I would tell you. Number one, go before the Lord and ask every single day for his wisdom and for his counsel financially. Don't just ask him for funding. Ask him for wisdom and counsel that goes, and the spirit of wisdom of counsel that goes with financing. And if you have never done that, today's the day that you need to start doing that. You've been listening to some wokester, some knucklehead. So, well, you're supposed to be poor. Now, listen, those people saying that, they ain't going to be poor. They're not going to be poor. They're just saying that you're not Christian enough for them. Well, I'm not trying to please any of those people, and neither are you, okay? So here's what's real is this. Go before the Lord and say, God, give me a spirit of wisdom when it comes to finances. When it comes to finance, I need your wisdom and I need your counsel. Okay. The second thing that you do is when you think that you have figured out, okay, I think I'm going to do a podcast, and I'm going to create a revenue stream from a podcast. Let's just say that you decided to do that, like what Alan DiDio teaches people to do and teaches ministries on how to operate like that. Because what's real is you can make a lot more finances, and you can find a lot more funding through podcasting than you can even through Christian television now.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've actually proven that.
Yeah.
We actually, guys, last year in 2025, I pulled out of five network television networks.
Yep.
And it was the only way that people knew who we were. And we stopped doing most of our Christian television last year. I left Daystar. I left God TV, and God TV's like really good friends with me. Yeah. They're wonderful. I love God TV. And I left a bunch of other ones. I left them, and then we actually doubled in finances.
Yeah. And that was a big leap of faith, because I think it's just how much things have changed. It speaks to that, because I think in the back of your mind, and a lot of people's mind too, it's like, oh, well, if we come off TV, are people still going to see me? Like, mm-hmm. you just kind of have this thought that, okay, TV's up here and the web is down here. Like, right. And so that was a huge shift for us. But then we saw it. We're like, wow, we don't need to spend $200,000, like hundreds of thousands of dollars on TV to get in front of people when we can turn on, hit record. We can go live from your phone and have just as many people, if not more, watch and be activated.
And the result of that was we rescued nearly 1,000 kids last year.
Mm-hmm. So incredible.
It was somewhere between 900 and 1,000 kids. That was the result. Amen. That were literal slaves. I'm talking about they were literally slaves. Yeah. And we rescued those kids. And we doubled in finances. Okay, that was not just me being brave. That was the spirit of wisdom and counsel that came to me. I lost a grace for a lot of the networks I was working with because of their drama, because of their mess, because of a bunch of stuff. And I just don't do well with that stuff. I got the gift of real, and I'm not Mr. Hollywood celebrity. I hate celebrity Christianity. I have a holy hatred for it.
I know.
I know you know. And you're kind of a celebrity Christian.
No! What do you mean?
I mean, you're kind of a big deal.
Let me just say this, that's something that I have loved about coming here is that, like, I lived in LA for a long time, for 10 years, and you can't, I mean, celebrity Christianity is, it's just kind of part of the culture, because even if you're not that type of pastor, when there's celebrities at your church and you have, I mean, they all, it's such a thing there. There's VIP seating, you know, they have to get escorted in there and out the back door, and there's paparazzi, literally at church, like, it's so bizarre. Wow. And so it seems like most people get swept up in that. And so, and then they cater to the celebrity crowd. Oh, well, you know, and thankfully there was a church that we found where I love the pastor, cause he didn't care who was sitting in the front row. You know, he would, and it was a young crowd. So he would say all the time, like, if y'all are shacking up, you're not doing it God's way.
Yep.
And but it's hard to find those people who are still speaking the Bible in the midst of all the things and who are unashamed and unafraid. But that was really refreshing to me to come to. I feel like the pendulum when we came here swung all the way back of, like, literally a pastor who does not give a crap about being PC, about what, like, it's just Bible and it's truth. And I love that. And I think so many people in this day and age are actually looking for that. I think things are coming back around, or people are looking for real. That's what they want.
Well, I don't blame pastors for being famous. That's not celebrity pastor, just because tons of people know it. Like Jensen Franklin.
Yeah.
Okay. He's one of the most famous pastors ever. And I had never known anybody that doesn't love Jensen Franklin.
Yeah.
He needs to have high impact. He needs to have great influence. You know, he needs that. I'll tell you this, and again, a lot of people hate me for saying this, but I have never known one single person that has ever worked for Joel Osteen that would not take a bullet for Joel Osteen.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's like, what? Like, he's obviously the most celebrity pastor in the world. Here's what I'm telling you. And guys, I have the gift of real. What I can tell you is I have known probably, I would say, at least 50, if not more than 100 people who have worked for him. Mm-hmm. I've never heard one person who worked with him, who did life with him, that didn't say, he's one of the greatest human beings ever.
Same.
Is that, yeah. is
I've
that,
never
is
heard
that
anything bad. And I know numerous people who have worked very closely with him. And not just that, I heard, and I just heard this past week, because a friend of mine was actually filming with his team. And she was just saying how much he had impacted her life, because she wasn't a believer. And he was very influential to her just having the seed planted of the Lord and coming to faith. And so, but they were saying like, he knows what people say about him.
Yeah,
he tells his people on staff, don't defend me. You don't have to defend me. The Lord will defend me. Mm-hmm. Don't get wrapped up in those things. When people say stuff, that's on them. Like, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we keep doing what we're called to do.
So I
love that.
I do too. I love that. Now look, he's not my style. Okay. But that's no reason for me to attack him.
Yeah. Correct.
And that's no reason for me to try and take away his influence on people.
Yeah.
Like, let him be who he is and let him do what he does.
It's a different assignment than
totally
what you have.
It's different from mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have my preferences of streams I like, you know, and all those kinds of things, and my expression of worship and how I like to preach and all those kinds of things. And I have my preferences, and it's not the devil. It becomes the devil when I call it God.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's when it becomes the devil.
This is the only way.
Yeah.
This is what it has to look like.
And it's like, you know, so I know that immediately people be like, hey, man, but don't you know that that guy has like $100 million house or something like that? Well, yeah, he's one of the most successful booksellers on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. How big of a house, since you're so mad at how big his house is, where is your protest against Stephen King? Mm-hmm. How big of a house and how many houses does Stephen King have? And what is his contribution to the United States and to the body of Christ?
Wow.
What about Louis L'Amour? Do you hate Louis L'Amour? Do you hate him? I wonder what kind of a house or what kind of a car that he drove. Hey, man, if these guys have figured out how to make money, and if it's not coming because people are giving them money to actually rescue kids or to feed the poor or whatever, mm-hmm. but if they have figured out ways to make income streams, don't be a hater and do that because they're Christians or because they're anointed or because they know the Bible or because they're pastors of churches. Now, I'm not Mr. Rich Guy. I'm not, you know, but I've got income streams. I do. I have several different income streams. One of them is I own a molding company. Do you even know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I've owned a molding company for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I own companies on the side. I've got a couple of hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
No.
Yeah. See, I don't even like, you know, I go after income streams, you know, this, whenever this novel comes out, you know what, that money will not be going to Troy Brewer Ministries. That money will be going to Leanna Brewer is where that money will be going to. Right on. And so like, all right, well, yeah. So I have a real problem with people that look over at other pastors and just go, I don't like him. He's so fake. He's so this, he's so that. I like, just because you don't like somebody's style doesn't mean that you got to be a hater.
And you also don't know, because I also know that, like, yes, you're it's smart and wise to have multiple income streams. But I also know that, like, you guys have mortgaged your house numerous times to do this work. And so when people make judgment calls, or they see someone driving this car or someone living this way or someone buying this, whatever it might be, it's really easy to make a judgment call, but you don't know. All the other things that came before.
And you also, I want to say this too. I don't know if you guys, if everybody watching this or not knows, but even though you don't have, number one, I didn't even have a savings account until I was 50 years old.
Oh, wow.
That's how broke we were. And I got one now. I got a savings account now. But I didn't even have a savings account until I was 50 freaking years old, because we had to mortgage our house over and over and over again. And you know, to rescue kids and all over the world. And we did that. Ben grew up in absolute poverty.
And we was broke.
We was broke. And I mean, we didn't even have electricity on at our house a lot of time.
Do you remember
Ben
that
growing
Ben?
Up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old times, man.
Did you realize at the time that, cause I grew up and we didn't have a lot, but I didn't realize that, you know, cause it was just my reality. Did you know? Like, did you realize it?
Eventually I did, but.
But like in the moment, you like.
I don't think.
Did you feel like you were poor whenever you were a kid?
No.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Our bathroom was outside, so. And then the church was there. So it was our house, the bathroom and the shower, and then the church. And we thought that was normal, just to go outside and take a shower.
That ain't normal. Because there's no house but even the day.
Shower inside the house. You know, I didn't think that was a big deal until like, wow, like we literally had to go outside. To go
we got an indoor watering hole.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah.
No, man.
I don't think
we would,
knew that.
We would put cowboy hats on the boys and we'd put bonnets on the girls. We had candles in the house. We'd cook outside and we called it Odin Days.
Yeah.
That sounds so fun.
It was awesome.
I know.
I had a great
That's
time.
That's so cool. I mean, Wow. That's rock star parenting.
Well, I'm saying all that to say this, that when it comes to money, the idea that you're not supposed to have money is a religious devil, and it's a poverty mindset. And what's real is you ought to, in the name of Jesus, become one of the richest human beings that's ever lived so that you can make a difference. So what are y'all laughing at?
Debbie has two cats.
No.
Can you read
Debbie has two cats. Says, I'm as poor as a pickpocket at a nudist beach.
You're going to steal that. I know you
You're
will.
You're not going to steal that platform, please.
I'm sorry. That one actually made me choke.
That one actually is funny.
That is hilarious, Debbie.
Okay. But you're not allowed to trust in the uncertainty. So what that means is this. Even though you get smart, so you ask for God's counsel, you ask for God's wisdom, then you get, let's just say again, if you wanted to like, okay, I feel like I need to do a podcast. Okay, do a podcast. But I would say this. You pay the price and you invest in somebody like Alan DeDio, and you get their wisdom and their counsel. So you got two levels of wisdom and counsel and all different kinds of things. Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
Two levels of wisdom and counsel. And so you got heavenly wisdom and counsel, and then you have earthly wisdom and counsel. And then what you do is, then when you go to, once you have paid the price of opportunity, and this is something we talk about a lot around here, man, you got to pay the high price of opportunity. In the spirit, what paying the high price of opportunity looks like is you have to be one of the 120 in the upper room, and you got to be there for 10 days after everybody else has fallen out.
Wow.
Pay the price for, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm going to be in this game.
Amen.
I'm going to do that. In the natural, what it looks like is you go to the conference. In the natural, what it looks like is like my friend Riley Meeks, and that, I actually stole that from him. He's the one that gave me that coined the phrase, paying the price for opportunity. Mm-hmm. They get this list of all these people saying DFW, and they get this list. They know that they're high money people. They know this. They get them all together. They pay for them to have a dinner. They have some famous person be there. They spend tons of money, and then they put it on them. This is what their program is, and this is why they should be a part of it. They don't know if anybody's going to sign up for that, and it costs beaucoup money for them as a company. They're a kingdom company, but they're still a company for them to do that, and they call it the price of opportunity. Wow. They got to pay the price of opportunity. Okay. You got to pay the price of opportunity in the natural and also within the spirit. And you don't know what's going to happen. When it comes to money, you got to understand you keep stabbing at it and stabbing at it and stabbing at it and stabbing at it. But you're not caught up in the uncertainty of riches. You're caught up in the hope that God will bless the works of your hands. And that's two different, completely different lifestyles. For me personally, I don't even like to know who all the big givers are. I don't like to personally know that. I'm actually having a problem with that now because I found out recently that there's somebody among us that has been given for years and years and years and years at a huge level, and I had no idea. And I have never even told them thank you. I've never even done that. I'm like, that's stupid. I got to check myself on that. It's just that I don't want to look at anybody, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm looking at them like they are a paycheck.
Yeah. Or you're treating them a certain way because of what they give.
But that's also too like, okay, I work with women. And one of the reasons why people do not work with women or guys do not work with women. They're like, well, I don't want them to think I'm looking at them a certain way. And I don't want anybody else to think. It's the same thing. Yeah. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. Either you are or you're not. Yeah. Either you can handle it or you can't handle it.
Yeah.
Right on? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So to me, that's kind of the same thing. And I just want to be full of the Holy Spirit when it comes to all that. Mm-hmm. Now, in Mark chapter 4, we have another verse. And in Mark chapter 4, I'm going to read this. Let me see if I can find it here. In the parable of the sower. Mm-hmm. Whenever he's given the explanation for the parable of the sower, he says this, is Jesus, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground. Okay, that is not the right verse. Hang on a second. Where is that verse I gave you?
That's what we wrote down.
Well, that is the wrong verse.
Mark 4,
you're out of the will.
29. You said 27.
Okay, well, let's look at that. There it is. Yep. And then he sleeps and he rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. Stop. He doesn't know how.
Wow.
Now, you said, well, a farmer knows. No, mm-hmm. The farmer does not know the genetics of how that thing works genetically. Now, we might today, somebody might know that today, but he's like, they don't know the exact timing, and they don't know exactly how, they just know what their part is, and then they do their part, but there's another part of it that there's a mystery in it. And so they're not counting that it's going to come up on a certain day. They're also not counting that it's going to bear 100% fruit. But some of it will. Some of it, though, is only going to bear 30% fruit. Some of it's going to bear 60% fruit. The deal is you have to immediately thrust in the sickle whenever the harvest has come.
That's good.
And that is the lifestyle that we're supposed to live financially. That is a lifestyle that we're supposed to live when it comes to ministry. That is a lifestyle that we're supposed to live when it comes to doing the kingdom stuff. Is I don't have a certainty in how everything is going to go. So if your culture at your church is you have a board, or you've got a wicked sister, or you've got wicked family members or somebody that's on your board, that you have to get their approval and you have to explain to them how to do how everything is exactly going to go down. And the first time that doesn't happen, they will not let you make decisions anymore. That is a satanic cult is what that is. You're never going to operate in the seed of the sower as Jesus says we're supposed to do, because you don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty that is involved in it. What is certain is that you're going to do your part when the time has come, and you are also certain that God Almighty is going to do his part, even though you don't know how it's going to go. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
It's
Amen.
True. You do the best that you can. And man, like, I'm involved in 10 million different things. And sometimes some of them bear fruit. Every now and then we'll have a good day. It'll all bear fruit on the same day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you go through seasons that just seem like it's fruitless, but man, you're still working just as hard as you were. That would be true if you owned a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
That would be true if you sold hot dogs on the side of the street. It's also true if you're handling millions and millions of dollars. It's also true if you're... It's true for all of us, and we have to trust the Lord, Amen. And we cannot be haughty in the process.
Can I throw something in here too? You can't say that I trust the Lord of my finances if you don't tithe. And I think that's a big thing.
Look out, you're going to make everybody mad.
I know.
You're going to make everybody mad.
I'm not the pastor, so he's not the one saying it. Would say it too. I know you would.
Are you in covenant with God in your finances? Yes or no?
Yeah, you can't.
Okay, you prove it. Prove it through tithing. Now, here's what's going to happen. Everybody's going to go, nope. I can see everybody bailing out of this broadcast right now.
No, but it's the truth.
Oh, Pastor Troy, he's preaching that prosperity message. Oh, you're supposed to prosper.
Bible message. Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to do better. You're not supposed to be starving to death. And you're supposed to, if you are blessed, you are supposed to be in a position to help people that are starving to death. And it's so basic. And people have contorted that to such a degree. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. You need to tithe. You need to not have any pornography within your life whatsoever. Oh, Pastor, I'm not hurting anybody. Better quit playing. If you want to play, and if you don't want to tithe, and you want to ask God to bless your finances, and say, Lord, I expect you to be in covenant with me, but don't expect me to be in covenant with you. Let me know how that works out for you.
Correct.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think it's the same thing with marriage, being in covenant with your spouse.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's with everything.
It's with everything.
Marriage, everything.
It's all of it.
Everything that you do.
It's with all of these things, man. You got to lay down your life. And, you know, there's somewhere, I think there's less than 4% of Christians that go to church actually tithe.
Wow.
Imagine.
That's crazy.
What a different America we would live in if Christians tithed and Christians voted. Correct. But they're lazy. I'm just going to just tell you this. Listen to me. I love you.
Yeah.
But if you don't vote and if you don't tithe,
then you're not.
Yeah. Good for you for cheering us on who actually do. Good for you. You could actually be a player in the kingdom. You could actually be a player in the body of Jesus. And like, well, I just don't, I feel like my freedom is so important, man. That's not freedom. That's rebellion. It's rebellion. It's not freedom. So whenever you don't vote, it's rebellion. God Almighty puts you in a country where you can vote and where most of the time the legal system of voting actually works. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it gets rigged. And, man, they try and rig it all the time. They try so hard to rig our elections now because they're demoniacs. And they'll do anything to stay in power. So why? Because of all the under-the-table money that comes to them. That's why.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's it. They trust in the deceitfulness of riches. And I want to just say, man, you need to vote. You need to be involved in the political system. You need to tithe. And you need to be committed financially. And that's not the same as your alms. That's not the same as just giving. That's not the same as those
that's
things.
Separate.
Be in covenant with the Lord and say, Lord, my covenant is real. I'm doing what I believe that Jesus taught us to do. Jesus didn't say, if you tithe. He said, when you tithe. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus said.
So we read this book in Bible school, Financial Stewardship by Andrew Womack.
Yep.
And it was more, it honestly, if you have a, if you're having a hard time, I want to encourage you to get this book because it talks about turning your finances over, not just giving God. You know, the word says tithing, so I want to encourage that. But that really helped me, Pastor, changing my lens of how giving. I've been always been taught from a little girl, give 10%.
Yep.
Always.
And that is the problem. Okay, yeah, it can actually be a problem.
You could turn that into a religious thing.
That's exactly right. It's just like the Sabbath. Okay, mm-hmm. The word of God says to keep the Sabbath. Yep. And sister here has a whole ministry about the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not a part of our culture, because mm-hmm. we're all Gentiles. Now mm-hmm. we're actually Jewish, right? Mm-hmm. We are actually in covenant with God, which is a Jewish covenant. Hallelujah.
Yeah, grafted mm-hmm. in.
So right, we are mm-hmm. grafted in. But it hasn't been our culture, so it hasn't been a priority for us. However, the Word of God says to keep the Sabbath. It's one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
I mean, hello. And so we're supposed to keep the Sabbath. Okay, now that I have said that, we also know the problems with keeping the Sabbath, that it can also be religious. That is not a reason not to keep the Sabbath.
All right.
And that is not a reason not to give your tithe.
Yeah. Somebody has a question about that.
Yes.
When it comes to taking out a loan from a 401k or residual of a student loan, are you expected to tithe on your debt, or is it a bad stewardship?
Man, that's a good question.
That's a great question.
These kinds of questions right here, I know how I would answer that for me.
I would just say seek the Lord and see what mm-hmm. how the Holy Spirit convicts you.
But I want to get back to her point. This is what Andrew Womack makes. Mm-hmm. The idea that only 10% of your finances belongs to the Lord is ludicrous.
Correct.
All of your finances belongs to the Lord.
Yeah, and it's all about turning it all over and having freedom in giving your finances to God. So I could testify really quickly. My mom started tithing more. She's like, God, I'm going to give you this, not because she wants me to return, and the Lord would bless her double or triple what she gave. She's like, I'm not going to give you from the, as if from the net. And the way that they do it, she started giving more, and she just, the Lord started blessing her, just double and triple.
If you ask me, Troy, do you tithe 10%? Yeah, I do.
And more.
But if you're asking me, how much of your finances go to ministry? I say all of it.
All of it.
All of it. And there are times I have literally emptied out every single bank account that I have and just go, I need a financial breakthrough, so I'm giving everything I have.
Yep. That's good.
Yeah.
I have.
I mean, there were times when we lived in LA, we didn't have enough money to pay our rent. And I've told you this before.
You told me.
We didn't have money to pay our rent. And I was supposed to get this job, and I went on the audition, and I thought it was really great, and then I didn't get it, and that was going to pay for our rent. But the Lord told us to tithe as if we had, told my husband, I should say, to tithe as if I had gotten that job.
Yep.
So he tithed on it, and then literally days later, a check shows up in our mailbox from someone who we never asked for money. We weren't like asking people for money, asking people for support. Someone just said, God told me to send this to you, and it was the exact amount for our rent. Oh, it was also the exact amount that we tithed. And so
I literally had a $1 million giver 3 years ago. I got $1 million in one day. Okay. And I still don't know who gave that. That's the only time anybody's given me $1 million. Right. I got it on a Monday and had it spent on a Friday. I gave it all away by the Friday because now I'm not going to have to wait another 6 months or a year or something to finish those projects. We finished all of those projects. But I want to tell you the first thing I did, and I don't mind telling you guys this. There was a guy in 2011. I'm trying to think what his name is. What is the name of that pastor, Ben? You have any idea? Wow. You know that story? Really?
You get it right.
How do you know that story? And what's his son's name? Alex. God, I love Alex. I love Alex Perkins, and he pastors a church in Cleburne. You know what the name of his church is? What is it? The Red?
Thread.
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 Like
okay.
Thread.
Jesus.
Okay, there's a loud AC right here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm deaf and old, so Thread. Thread Church. Pastor Alec Berkins. Such a good dude. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. All right. His dad also is also a pastor. I knew Pastor Alex when he was a little boy. And we actually, whenever we moved out of our little building into the bigger building in Joshua, that that little church that we were in for 18 years. No, we were in it for longer than 18 years. We were in it for, yeah, I think we were in it for 18 years, I think. Now I don't know. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Anyway, we moved over to this other building, and I got to figure that out. We moved in that building in 2009, so it was 19 years. Yeah. No, we moved there in 2010, and then 2011 was the year the big church split, right? So it was 2010. Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So I'll tell you about that here in just a second. Anyway, the bottom line is when we moved out, Pastor Gary and his church, they were having church at the high school in some town, Crowley. And I gave them the building. I gave them all the furniture in the building. I gave them the PA system. I gave them all the toys that was in kids' church. I gave them the whole entire place. I invited them over and said, guys, I'm moving out. We will pay the next 3 months rent on this place, and we're giving you everything in it. Okay. And then we moved into our new building. A year later, he comes to me and he goes, bro, I got to tell you this. I got to tell it to you personally. I'm like, what? He said, I had a dream, and the dream that I had was I was going through my offering, and there was a check for $100,000 in my offering bucket, and I totally freaked out. And so I went to see you. This is in his dream. And wow. He said, I went to see you and said, why did you give me $100,000? And you said, because somebody gave me $1 million and I wanted to tithe on it. So he said, brother, I'm claiming that. And he laid hands on me. Wow. And he prayed for me that somebody would give me $1 million. And so I told him, I said, I promise you, if anybody ever gives me $1 million bill, I promise you I will tithe. And I promise you I will give you $100,000.
Yep.
Okay. So now fast forward 2 years ago. So that happened back in 2010.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're talking about how many years are we talking? Last year was 2025. So we're talking about 15 years later. I was in Uganda and my finance team called me and said, you're not going to believe this, but you just got $1 million given to you. And
wow.
I went, oh my gosh. The first thing I thought was I got to call Pastor Gary and I got to give him $100,000. Because I made a covenant with the Lord.
Yep.
How am I going to forget that 15 years later? And so, and I had hardly talked to Pastor Gary in 15 years.
What did he say when you called him?
I got back and I called him and said, hey, man, can you come over to my office? And he said, yeah. And he came over. And we were sitting in there. And I think we actually filmed it, I think.
We actually did. I don't know if we.
And I told him, I said, hey, man, do you remember that dream we had 15 years ago? And remember, we both prayed before the Lord. We asked God to bless me with $1 million gift. Yeah. And then you actually, and in the dream, I'd given you a check for $100,000 to tithe. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, here it is. And I gave him a check for $100,000.
Yeah.
Man, you better keep your promises to the Lord.
Wow.
And that was a big giving goal I had. That someday I was going to do that. And by goodness, I did it. I did it.
I love that you honor that. Because I've seen many times where people don't. And I've seen that.
It's foolish. It is so foolish not to keep your promises to the Lord. It's very foolish. Okay, so somebody just now gave $1,000 on YouTube.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
It was anonymous. Otherwise, we would thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for that. Thank you for, come on, man, way to go.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Okay, I'm gonna finish up with this, and then we're going to go behind the veil, and I'm going to go into details about this, okay? But we are working on a case in Cambodia where we are tracking a dude, and this guy is a monster. We know of 25, we have documented 25 children that this monster has molested, and there's no telling how many more he has. Because that's in one country, and we track him, and he's traveling. Okay, that means my rescue team has to travel, and that means we have to work with several different national agencies in Asian countries to get this guy. And this guy is also European. We are also working with the European country that he comes from, because once he goes into a Cambodian prison, once we get him, we want him extradited to his country, and we want it to make national news that the body of Christ is going after these clowns. And then also, too, we're going to round up all of those kids, and we're going to take care of them. Okay, that is going to cost us. That one operation is going to cost us $10,000 a month for 5 months. That's a $50,000 bill we're going to have to spend.
Yeah.
On chasing this monster down, building a case against him. That is not how much it's going to cost to round up all those kids and to take care of them. That is not the cost of the homes. That is not that. It is just the investigation. The investigative team that is working in as many as five different nations is going to cost $10,000 a month for 5 months. That's a $50,000 bill. And you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much money. It is a lot of money. And this is, it costs a lot of money. Ben, you go down to Mexico all the time. You work with our kids down there. You recently did a quinceañera with 153 kids.
Yep.
You actually did that, which is so cool. And then, but do you know how much money I send to the one home in Mexico City?
Not off the top of my head.
I know how much it is. Every single month, 50 grand. And that is one home. And we have over 50 homes. Mm. That is one home. It's a lot of money, guys. It just costs a lot of money, man, to do this. So when we go behind the veil, I'm going to give you a little bit of details about how this investigation is going. And if you're watching on ODX.TV, stay right where you are. If you're watching all over the world, I hope that you'll come out and join me. If you're anywhere near the Metro Mess, come out and join us, because, guys, we're going to be watching a movie tonight.
Yeah.
We're watching The Great Awakening at Open Door Church tonight. It's movie night. We're watching A Great Awakening, and it is so good. So we're going to be celebrating freedom and our great nation. It's going to be a blast, and I love it. Sight and Sound Theater actually made this movie, and I love Sight and Sound. It's out of Branson, Missouri, and hopefully we'll all be moving up to Branson here real quick. And but with all that said, tonight is going to be movie night, and we're going to be getting together, and we're going to be celebrating our nation. And we're going to be thanking God for what he's done in our nation. We're going to be watching a fun movie. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah. Guys, we got free popcorn, got free drinks. Like, let's so get fun. Together as a church family and let's do something cool.
It's going to be awesome.
All right. Well, take us out and we'll go behind the veil.
All right, guys. Well, thank you, of course, as always, for joining us today for this wild show. It's been fun. It's been deep. And I hope that it has blessed you. And I hope that the Lord has spoken to you through it. I hope you had fun, but I really hope at the end of the day, the Lord has spoken to you through it. And I'm glad, Ben, that you're getting some love on your shirt personally love as well.
As you should. Thank it's a great you. Shirt.
Yes.
Teresa guys, says that you're loud.
What?
All right, guys. So we're going to head behind the veil. With that, we're going to leave you with a little commercial that talks about the why behind what we do. And if you're on ODX as a Stage 2 or 3 member, then we're going to join you. We're going to see you right over there, because that's where we're going to be right now. And if you're not
Don't forget to watch me on Fox News this coming Saturday.
Yes, Saturday.
Nationally, internationally, sometime between 11 and 1 Central Standard Time.
Yep. Yes,
Central Standard Time. And so... Aisha's show, and Aisha Hadley is a friend of ours, and I'm going to be on there.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about rescuing kids.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So don't miss it, guys. With that, we're going to head behind the veil. We'll see you on the other side.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem. It's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.